From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Kara Thomas.
And I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we're following this week. The victim of sexual assault from a Grand Marais couple finally saw his assailants sentenced in Cook County District Court Wednesday. The husband in the assault, Kevin Thompson, 52, was sentenced to 2 years at the Northeast Regional Correctional Center and 1 year in local confinement by 6th Judicial District Judge Kenneth Sandvik on felony charges of kidnapping, second-degree assault, terroristic threats, false imprisonment, and criminal sexual conduct. His wife, Susan Thompson, 40, was sentenced to 10 years probation on charges of criminal sexual conduct, kidnapping, and false imprisonment. Under terms of a plea agreement, Susan Thompson will be confined to her home under electronic home monitoring. She won't be allowed to have guests or leave home without permission of her probation officer. According to the Cook County Attorney's Office, the Thompson's school-aged child will live with his mother. The Thompsons testified during the hearing that when Kevin learned his wife was having an affair with the victim, they concocted a plan to lure him into their home the night of May 15, 2009, with intent to scare him. Once the man arrived, however, Kevin Thompson overcame the victim, tied him up, and held him for the next 6 to 8 hours while threatening him with a knife, a crowbar, and a gun, and forcing him to have sexual contact with Susan. Sandvik ordered Kevin Thompson to be taken into custody immediately. Both of the Thompsons will be required to enroll in sex offender treatment programs as part of their sentences. They also owe court costs and restitution totaling $50,000.
The Environmental Review of PolyMet Mining Corporation's proposed copper-nickel mine near Hoyt Lakes is moving forward, and two additional federal agencies will now join in the preparation of a supplemental draft environmental impact statement for the project. The U.S. Forest Service will join the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the Minnesota DNR as a co-lead agency in the environmental review process, and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency will now serve as a cooperating agency. PolyMet Mining Corporation, based in Vancouver, Canada, is the first of several companies with plans to mine copper, nickel, and other precious metals in northeastern Minnesota. If permitted, the proposed NorthMet mine would be the first non-ferrous or sulfide mine in Minnesota. This type of mining is highly controversial because it exposes acid-generating rock to air and water, causing long-term, highly toxic runoff from the mine site. The environmental review of the PolyMet project has been underway for over 5 years, and the required draft environmental impact statement for the project was released for public comment in October of 2009. More than 3,700 comments were received by the co-lead agencies, with the most significant comments coming from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. In a highly critical 25-page review of the draft environmental impact statement, the EPA stated that the PolyMet project would result in unacceptable long-term water quality impacts in the Lake Superior watershed and should not proceed as proposed. The EPA identified dozens of other deficiencies in the draft environmental impact statement and directed the co-lead agencies to prepare a revised or supplemental document and to make it available once again for public comment. In a press release, PolyMet Mining Corporation said the company is pleased that the Forest Service and EPA are more formally involved in the EIS process, and they announced the development as a path forward to completion of the environmental review.
The County Fiber Optic Network Commission and two representatives from the Blandon Foundation hosted a meeting of about 15 community broadband stakeholders on Wednesday. The Fiber Optic Network Commission, or FON, has a goal of providing broadband connectivity to every Cook County household. The purpose of the meeting was to familiarize interested community organizations and agencies with the goals and objectives of the Minnesota Intelligent Rural Communities Initiative. The session was an initial introduction to the grant opportunity available from the Blandon Foundation and the federal government. Bill Coleman facilitates the demonstration communities portion of the initiative and is administrator for the Blandon Broadband Strategy Board. He talked about the five elements of broadband.
The availability of broadband throughout the community helps you to keep and create and support a knowledge workforce. Now that we've seen in almost every industry that the technology use is becoming more and more pervasive, and if you can't use the technology, you know, you're really left behind. Likewise, if you have a highly educated workforce, they're going to be the people who are innovative. If you have highly skilled people, they'll figure out ways to do things more efficiently. And then digital inclusion. We want to make sure that everyone has the skills, the access to a computer, and the access to the internet to really participate in a community. And then finally, from these things, from the broadband infrastructure and services you have, from the knowledge workers you have, the innovation that's going on, the digital inclusion, that's really your marketing message, both to the outside community and within your own community.
The initiative has $100,000 to fund at least 4 broadband-related projects in the county over the next 2 years. Cook County is one of 11 rural areas from throughout the state chosen to participate in the program. Dana McKenzie is the county's information systems director.
Our stated goal here is to get next generation broadband access to everyone in the community. There was a market survey done where households and users were contacted and surveyed, as were businesses, as were seasonal homeowners. One of the pertinent pieces of there is over 80% of the respondents actually had some sort of internet access. So there was a high level of interest for internet access within our community. Close to 25% of those people said that they only had access to dial-up. Probably a little bit more specifically is the state of Minnesota's governor's Ultra Broadband Task Force. In their first round of that process, Cook County came in at the least served county in the state with only 37% served.
Participants broke into small groups and discussed the assets and gaps currently in county broadband access. Major gaps identified were the affordability, availability, speed, and reliability of internet service. Paul Harvey chairs the Fiber Optic Network Commission.
Reliability, there's also, there's a footnote to reliability where it is just so, talking about hotspots is a perfect example. I mean, they are just spots. And some people can't get service a block away just because of some structure or mountain or something.
Once a steering committee is formed and various ideas arising from the meeting are prioritized, FON will send out requests for proposals for high-speed projects to community organizations. It is hoped projects will be selected early this fall.
Work on the Duluth I-35 mega project continues this week after a July 4th holiday break. The London Road corridor has narrowed down to a single lane between 24th and 32nd Avenues East. In addition, I-35 is closed between 21st and 26th Avenues East. All northbound traffic must use the 21st Avenue East exit. The traffic snag is expected to last 45 days, and during that period, motorists who want to access businesses or scenic Highway 61 should exit the freeway at 21st Avenue East and detour along Superior Street.
For WTIP News, I'm Jay Anderson.
And I'm Kara Thomas.